The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the show. Good God. Herbie Teope just tweeted out a picture of defensive tackle Danny Shelton, who was just signed by the Chiefs last week, and today's his first practice. Would you look at the size of this human being next to George Karlaftis?
Oh!
Good night!
It's a big hoss. Wow!
You know, Karlaftis ain't a little guy. Would you look at this? I'm thinking that could be a run stopper, perhaps. We'll see. He's a late addition, but he's had 75 starts in his career, veteran defensive tackle. What did you think, Marco?
I couldn't see who was in front of him, really. He's
there's Karlaftis right there, and there's a gigantic man. Let's talk to Bill Moss, who joins us every Monday to talk football. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Guys, how's it going? Hey, unbelievable week we had here. The birthday party for 100 years was outstanding. Steven, you are, I had no idea. I had no idea you were such a showman. And on top of that, I heard that Whitlock got drafted in front of Nate.
That's right. I can't believe it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. He doesn't even live here anymore, and they drafted him in front of Nate.
Yeah, I heard that. And then yesterday, I was out at Topeka at the NHRA races. Grunny was out there as well. He was the Grand Marshal. And we were upstairs. What fantastic race that was.
That's awesome.
And then Saturday, we had the Chiefs. I mean, what a great weekend.
It was a great weekend. And I liked the fact that it was a noon game, so I could watch it and still get everything done on Saturday. And one of the guys that everyone's talking about, and you're the best guy I know that can give us a critique of his performance, George Karlaftis certainly looked like the real deal in the limited time that he played. What did you think of the Chiefs' first-round pick?
Yeah, you know, it paid off, right? Everything that he is paid off in the first game. And it's just sheer desire. I mean, the guy's not going to quit. And it's just a full-time, you hear it said all the time, what a motor he has. But you just see it. And that kind of effort is what you need. In today's NFL game, right? You've got to get to the quarterback. You just think about the offseason, all the additions that teams were adding, edge rushers. They're looking for them drastically. I mean, it's a huge part of the game, especially if you're going to play the Chiefs, right? You got to be disruptive. So I really am impressed with the steps that the defense has taken to correct what we saw last year, lack of a pass rush, ailing secondary. Yeah, there's a lot to be hopeful for this year's Chiefs.
So when it comes to the speed on defense as well, Steven was talking about that in the secondary. How much do you think we were able to see that in this game, and how much more do we need to see before the preseason's over with?
Yeah, so, okay, look, you know, we saw some good things. Everything looked great. I really question, you know, the level of ability that the Chicago Bears have, you know. Where do they rank? Certainly not anywhere like our schedule is going to be, right? Our schedule is you're playing every team's a playoff team. So, you know, pull the reins in a little bit there. But overall, yes, the defense did look faster. You're going to have to see more repetition, more these guys have seen some receivers, primarily just the ones that we have in training camp. But each and every receiver around the league has a different skill set, and they're going to be tested with that. You have to find out. Not everybody matches up great against other people. You know, there's always an advantage somewhere for somebody. So I think it's just going to be a matter of repetition for those guys to get to feel and see all the different types of receivers and patterns that are run.
Getting back to, like you said, the pass rush is so important. Chris Jones looked good. You could tell there was one play where Fields was rolling out, and I thought Frank Clark showed a tremendous burst of speed. closing in on him and forcing him to throw the ball away. But between Jones and Frank Clark, George Karloftis, Carlos Dunlap, and again, the speed that I saw from Willie Gay and Nick Bolton, the front seven has a lot more speed, and there's different weapons now that that Steve Spagnuolo can use to attack the quarterback. Besides Karloftis, what else did you like from that front seven?
Yeah, so I like the edge rushers, right? I mean, last year we really didn't have a good combination of that. Clark really, he didn't cut it, putting it quite simply. I like the mix that they have there now. Mike Dannen, I said it a year ago, that this guy's a player. Every time he's in the game, he's around the ball. He makes something happen. So he's got another year of progression in his game. So you couple him with Carlos Dunlap, new and improved Frank Clark, and Karloftis, and you've got a good rotation there of guys who can you know, flash up field and get in front of the quarterback and be disruptive. And then you have that push in the middle. I'm telling you, I played the position. Chris Jones, when he wants to, he can make a big, professional, athletic offensive lineman look like he doesn't even belong on the field. When he wants to, he can just make grown men look ridiculous. And it's a gift, man. I mean, he stands up too high sometimes, but it doesn't affect him. He's got that push when he wants to in the middle, and that's very disruptive. And there's nothing worse for a quarterback when it's right in your lap.
So talking about the secondary, Lonnie Johnson, one of the veterans at training camp, has been released. And so that's just another vote of confidence from the Chiefs that they really like the youth, those rookies. They spent some draft picks to bring in some young guys in the defensive backfield. And Lonnie Johnson, I mean, I think when they acquired him, we thought, okay, there's just a veteran guy that can be a transition guy, and I thought he might make the team. But then you saw him really not getting any reps with the ones and twos up in training camp, and here we go, the day after, or the first practice after the first preseason game, they let Lonnie Johnson go. What does that tell you, Bill?
Yeah, I think it's just what you said. I think that they saw enough from the rookie class, the young guys that have come in, to say, to make that move. You don't make that move unless you're comfortable with who you have. And I think even the little we saw of those guys out there together, I feel it was a much improved defensive secondary.
And that's two veteran corners now that they've released in the past week or so, DeAndre Baker and Lonnie Johnson, Nate Bucchetti.
Yeah, there's no doubt they're trusting the rookies and they're trusting the young guys in the secondary. I do want to go back to what you said about Chris Jones as well, though, Bill, because I heard Trent Green saying that he, after being in camp for a few days or several days, felt like there's even a – we've talked a lot about how Frank Clark is in better shape and has come back with a renewed sense of purpose, but he felt like Chris Jones is really is in better shape and maybe a little more turned up for this preseason. It's only one series that we saw, but are you seeing that too? Are you expecting Chris Jones to take another step forward this year?
You know, I would like to see him accept the responsibility of a leader. You know, he's kind of been aloof and does his own thing, but basically he does whatever he wants over there. Nobody can really control him or talk to him. He does whatever he wants, but he's the kind of guy that has the ability to change the mentality of an entire defense. He has that presence, and he has the ability on the field to be that guy. And so, yeah, I would hope if he takes that responsibility to be the leader on the defense, because, you know, you got two young linebackers, and normally one of your middle linebackers is the guy, right? And you have a youthful secondary. And even if Juan Thornhill, right? I mean, he's just getting back into the mix of things as of last year. You need somebody out there to be the leader. And I don't know who that has been in the last couple of years. I'd like to see him be that guy because he can change the mentality of that whole defense through his presence, through his work ethic, and his ability to play the game.
Bill Moss is our guest. Bill, we had this conversation with Adam Teicher about punt returner, and I know there's a lot of other things more important than this right now. But so Dave Tobes said he doesn't want to use Mecole Hardman as much because of his increased role in the defense. So they're looking at Sky Moore and Trent McDuffie. Sky Moore did not do it in college, and so there's a lot of rough edges to be taken care of. And so Adam guessed that Trent McDuffie would be the guy week one. Adam didn't agree, and if I'm wrong, and maybe I'm just being, overly conservative, but I'm not really excited about using Trent McDuffie, one of the top two corners, especially when they're releasing these veteran corners and depending on these young kids. I don't know that I want him out there returning punts and taking a chance on him getting hurt. I guess you can get hurt doing anything in football, so maybe it's just me overreacting. Right. But I wouldn't mind them, Sky Moore or someone else, and not risking one of your best cover corners on the defense at punt returner. How do you think they should handle the punt returning position?
Justin Reed, put him out there. Yeah, he can do everything, right?
Exactly right.
I always thought that the guys that should be doing that should be guys that do it on a regular basis, like offensive guys that are used to catching the ball in their hand and used to running after the catch. And to me, that would be Sky Moore. I know he's a little raw and hadn't done it for a while, but it's just a matter of reps because that's what they do. I mean, receivers catch the ball, running backs catch the ball and run. And that's what they're used to doing. It's kind of just innate. When you take a defensive guy and do it, it's just, to me, it's just not the same. They're doing something that they're not normally used to doing. If you think about Trent McDuffie, 99% of the time he's backpedaling, right? And shifting and adjusting and running to a ball, not catching balls and then eluding tacklers. So I think you just stick with an offensive guy, whether that be a running back or a wide receiver, and let them do what they do on every down.
I would vote for Sky Moore. I like that idea, even though he doesn't have a lot of experience. I think that's a good compromise between a guy that's young that could be a playmaker, and he'll have a role in the offense, but it's not as important of a role as Trent McDuffie. See, I'm with you. I'd like to see Sky, and the more Sky Moore can get the ball in his hands, he is a playmaker offensively, and he could do that special teams wise between him and then. Did you see anything from Isaiah Pacheco? He had the one kickoff return that was pretty good. He had a nice catch where he broke a tackle. They clearly like him a lot. What did you see from that rookie that's been talked about so much?
I think it speaks volumes that they put him in with the first offense. Even if it was limited, I think that says a lot about how they feel about him. The one thing I would question or be concerned about is Blake Bell. Is that injury bad? Is it, career threatening? I don't know enough about it, but they did take him off the field and took him out of the game and into the locker room. He's a guy that's really, he fits into the offense and he makes the offense go. Like when they put him in, every place Andy Reid has been in his coaching career, the two tight ends have been a big staple of his offense. And all of them, everywhere he's been, have been all pro. Mark Chimera and Keith Jackson up in Green Bay. In Philadelphia, each and every year, he had cool tight ends that were all pros. Chad Lewis was one of them. And so, he uses that package a lot. And Blake Bell is really, really good at what he does. And if he's not there, when he went to Dallas for that year, they missed him terribly, especially down in short yardage. And they got, as soon as he was up that year, they got him right back. And so I think that says a lot about what he brings to that offense. And I'd be concerned because I don't think there's anybody on the roster right now that can fill what he does.
Yeah, we're looking for Blake Bell updates right now up at practice. And I'm with you because when you look at so Noah Gray, he's the best special teams guy. Tobe loves him. He's a four-faced player. He says he's one of the guys he can depend on. And then, with Jody Fortson, he's more just he's a receiver in that tight end position. But Blake Bell is the best all-around guy and the best blocker, and you need him behind Kelsey. So I'm with you. That is something that we need to monitor after he left with that hip injury and then was ruled out and he couldn't return. And so we'll find out if he's practicing or if he's not then I'm sure they'll update us after the game as to what his situation is. But you're right. Then that's why they're going to keep four tight ends as long as he's healthy. But the running back situation, and that this all works together. You know, how many wide receivers, five or six?
Right.
Ronald Jones was brought in, but then they made the surprising signing. Jerick McKinnon was still out there, and they signed him too. Do you think, considering Clyde has not stayed healthy and Jerick McKinnon has had durability issues, do you think they're going to keep four true running backs in Clyde, McKinnon, Pacheco, and Ronald Jones, or is Ronald Jones in danger of not being on this team?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And if you think about the numbers, you know, you're probably going to keep 9 offensive linemen, maybe 10. And you think about the numbers game, and as you get down to the cuts that are coming up soon, I don't know. I don't think Isaiah Pacheco is a practice squad candidate. I think if you put him on practice squad, he's gone, right? Can you slip one of the other guys on that? Can you get Derek Gore on that? I don't know. I do think they're going to keep 4 running backs on the roster. Just – given what they had and the things you just said, McKinnon and Clyde have primarily been injured pretty much quite often. So, you know, Pacheco is going to be there, and I don't know, Gore or Jones, right? That's what it's going to be, I think.
And Gore had the fumble, and I think you could get him on the practice squad. You know, something else I was going to ask you about, one of the changes that didn't get a whole lot of talk in the offseason. The Chiefs brought in a new defensive line coach. It was Brendan Daly, and they moved him to linebackers and run game coordinator. And they brought in a veteran defensive line coach who's done it all in the NFL, Joe Cullen. What was your reaction to that, and how much of an impact or difference can bringing in Joe Cullen make for the defensive line?
Yeah, so, you know, they had to make an adjustment last year after Andy's son wasn't able to come back, and they filled that spot, and I don't think they were happy with the outcome of it. So when you bring in a veteran guy like Cullen, who has coached multiple Pro Bowls and has a different approach, I think he's really captured those guys. And you know, bringing in Warren Sapp to camp too, I think that was a great move by Andy. And the things that he was teaching and working with those guys were really unprecedented. I hadn't seen other coaches teach that way. So I think you're taking a group of guys that could definitely get better from last year. You added some parts in Karloftis and Carlos Dunlap, right? And you've got a new mentality about it. And I think right now it's showing. And I think that, you know, they expect good things from this group. If they all stay healthy, it should be a really good group.
At this point in camp, what was it like? I know your practices and your camp were a lot tougher than Andy Reid's, but it was fun. Listening, Patrick mentioned a padded practice that he was a little surprised that Andy had. It didn't sound like he was a huge fan of it. So Andy still does run a tough camp when you compare it to other NFL training camps. But what was this like for you when you're just getting ready to wrap things up, 100 degrees out there, and you're ready to go? At least you got a chance to hit on some other players in the first preseason game, but they're ready to come home, yeah?
Yeah, they're ready to come home, and they're ready for it all to start, too. You know, I could remember waiting for the preseason to be over. You wanted to hone your skills, get in there, play a quarter, give it everything you have, play hard. I mean, you want to be right. And then you want to sit back and watch the other guys and visualize and think about the season ahead. It's a big deal. And then it's just part of the next step. You know, there's the off-season program, then there's training camp, and then there's the preseason. It's just the next step. You're breaking camp, you go home, now you get into that routine of being at your house, being with your family, getting over to the stadium in the morning and spending the day there, then back home. So you're getting just prepared for how you get ready for the season. And that's really what they want. They right now you're thinking, okay, all right, let's get this over with. We're ready to go. I'm in top shape. We've been through the 100-degree heat practice. I'm ready to go. Bring on the Chargers.
Final question for you. The NFLPA has complained about the field conditions. They were at Soldier Field for the Bears and Chiefs game. I guess 8 days before the game, Elton John had a concert, and that kind of tore up the grass, and the Chicago Fire, these damn soccer players, you know, ripping apart the field. And I'm looking at Nate. I've had it with that. But was there – look, they're not totally unscathed. We don't know exactly the severity of Blake Bell's hip injury, but J.C. Treader, the president of the NFLPA, was on Twitter and said that they need to evaluate what's acceptable surface for players to compete on. Did you see anything that looked unreasonable to you at Soldier Field?
I didn't see anything, but, you know, you're not up close enough to either. I mean, footing was a big deal for me. If I had one thing that I'd say that I was superstitious about, it was wearing the right shoes. If you're on grass and how deep is the grass and how muddy or whatever the conditions are, what kind of astroturf are you on? Do I need the long nubbies? Do I need the short nubbies? I'd run on two or three different pairs of shoes in pregame just to get a good feel for what will keep me on my feet upright the most, because footing's such a huge deal. If you're playing in, you know, subpar conditions, anything could happen. Slipping's just one part of it. I mean, twisting an ankle, and that's another deal. So, yeah, it's a big deal. I'm glad the NFLPA is doing something about it. I mean, everybody should be held accountable for the conditions you put the players in.
Bill, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, have a great one. Thanks for having me on.
That's Bill Moss. We'll be back after this on WHB. You are so lucky we have a guest right now, or your sister will be sitting in giving us some dirt about you. If you want to stay for the last 5 minutes of the show, you get an invitation. It's like, okay, yeah, I need some real information about you from your sister. Your wonderful sister who goes back to school on Thursday. But right now, let's talk to Annie Rogers from MLB.com about the Kansas City Royals. Hello, Annie. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing very well. And so before we get into the weekend series against the Dodgers, what happened with MJ Melendez? He was in the lineup, then he wasn't. And then I know you asked Mike Matheny about it, and he kind of gave a short answer. What exactly happened there?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mystery. I mean, he wasn't benched for an injury, that's for sure, because he pinch hit in the eighth inning yesterday. So clearly something happened, and Mike Matheny was protecting his rookie and didn't get into too many details with us. So we'll see if anything comes out later on. But that was a weird situation yesterday. Something must have happened, you know, in the clubhouse before the game. To cause that reason, and Matheny wasn't going to get into any details with us. So he pinch hit, so he's okay, and I know that was on the minds of a lot of Royals fans, heading into that game. Is he injured? Seems to be fine, though. So we'll see if he's in the lineup again today.
So that raised your eyebrow, too, because that wasn't normal, because it wasn't strategic, or he wouldn't have been in the lineup to begin with. So clearly, I'm with you. There was something there. Matheny's protecting his player, but that was abnormal, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Okay, so moving on, I got it. Brady Singer, and look, Brady Singer has been fabulous since he was called up from AAA, and then you go to the next step and see what he did in that start against the Yankees, and now this start against the best team in baseball that had won 12 in a row, and had just put a beating on the Royals the previous two nights, and he shut them down. And I want to, but just like it's like proceed with caution, because I feel like we've been burned so many times. Like, we want to say, okay, this is Brady Singer. He's figured it out. But man, oh man. And so I'm still, like I said, being cautiously optimistic. But how could you possibly ask any more of this guy? He has been terrific against the highest competition too, right?
Yeah, I think he's got a 1.67 ERA against the Yankees, the Rays, two meetings with the White Sox, and now the Dodgers as well. I mean, that is about as good as you can get. I think there was one start in there against the White Sox in Chicago where he allowed four runs in six innings, wasn't as sharp. But even that's not too bad, right? So he's been really good lately, really good against good teams, which is exactly what the Royals wanted to see. He's really confident when he steps on the mound. He's always been confident, but now he can kind of see the results. And he knows what he's doing, and I think it just took some time. It also took, you know, a lot of work. He went down to AAA, embraced that challenge, and came back not a different pitcher, but just a better one. And you're seeing the transformation, really, when he takes over the mound. He's turning into an ace for the Royals, quite frankly, and that's exactly what they want to see from the 26-year-old.
So you mentioned that rough start, but he went six innings, and that's, to me, an even, you know, broader definition of an ace. When he doesn't have his best stuff, or he has an off night, he'll still give you six innings so you don't blow up your bullpen. And that's the kind of guy, like, say, James Shields was. When James Shields had an off night, he was still going to gut it out, give you five or six innings, not tax the bullpen. And so, that to me, that's impressive. To when he doesn't have his best night, he still gives you a chance to win.
Yeah, that's a huge step, I think, for young pitchers to take. I think last year and even in 2020 a little bit, you saw, you know, okay, this young pitcher didn't have this stuff tonight, and so he's going to give you three, maybe four innings, and that's obviously not what you want. Now you're seeing a lot of these guys gut it out through five, gut it out through six, even without their best stuff. Brady Singer's one of them, and that's something that it's a huge step forward for them and for the Royals. And something like that takes time. I know people were frustrated early on, but this is what the Royals have been hoping for. And you can kind of see the blueprint a little bit more with these step forward that they're taking.
So last week, Steven was asking me about whether I wanted to see Nate Eaton play third base or in the outfield. And I couldn't really describe it any more accurately than to say, just when I look at him, he looks like an outfielder to me. He just looks like an outfielder to me. And boy, yesterday he was putting that work on display. How good can he be defensively in the outfield, and where do you think he's profiled out long term?
He is a stud in the outfield. I mean, the way he runs after the ball, he's fearless. He has great jumps, great reads. He's not afraid to make those diving catches. You know, to hear Vinny Pasquantino talk about Nate Eaton, it's really funny because he's like, that should not be surprising at all, because Nate Eaton is the kind of guy you love having on your team and you hate playing against, because he's always going to make those plays and he wants to show off his arm too, because he was 96, 97 off the mound in high school. So he's got a strong arm. He can play anywhere on the field as far as projections. He's played all over the infield and the outfield in the minor leagues. And I think, you know, we've seen him only in the outfield in the majors. That's because the Royals have a ton of infielders right now. There's not really that need. But I think if you play third base, maybe not long-term, but if the Royals need a stopgap there, they can put him there for a little bit. He can play both corners. I think he can play center field. He's that super utility man that every team really needs. And, man, I hope Royals fans like watching him play, because he's a stud out there.
And when, you know, they made all those call-ups when they were going to Toronto, you tweeted about it, and you mentioned, you know, you've heard so much from scouts and other people about Nate Eaton, and so you gave us the heads up on that, so we watched him. And also, Andy, your tweet gave me the confidence to claim him in my rotisserie league, and I know that's very important to you, that I follow your advice on the path to hopefully winning a championship, and so I'm very happy. But, yes, he is, because if you just go by, you know, the top 30 prospects at MLB.com for the Royals, he wasn't up there very high. But then when you see him with your own eyes, you think, damn, he's a hell of a prospect. And so that sometimes you got to see a guy and not just look at the prospect rankings. But someone who is ranked very high is this man named Vinny Pasquantino.
Oh, yeah.
Andy, he is on fire. And this is what, because like, this is one of these stretches we saw at AAA, and we're asking, you know, can he do this at the major league level? What's it like What's it been like to watch him over the past couple of weeks? Over the last 21 days, his OPS is 969. Over the last 14 days, it's 1,099. And over the past week, it's over 1,500. He's crushing the ball. He's getting on base. He's doing it all, Annie.
Yeah, actually, when Vinny steps to the plate, I like to watch the pitcher. And when Vinny, you know, throughout the process of his plate appearance, he frustrates the pitcher. I watched Dylan Cease on the White Sox, who has had a really good year, will get Cy Young votes. He was frustrated against him. He drew a walk, I think, late in that game this past week, and it was impressive to watch, you know, Dylan Cease, who's having a phenomenal year, get really frustrated against this rookie cleanup hitter. So I think that tells you everything you need to know about the way Vinny Pasquantino is swinging it right now, or not swinging it, because he loves to take his walks and he hates to strike out. Like you said, he's crushing the ball. Sometimes, you know, they go right to a defender, but other times they fall. Other times they go over the fence. So he's doing everything right. I think all that we've talked about him throughout the minor leagues in Double A and Triple A these past couple of years, you know, we're seeing it now at the major league level. You can really see him settling in, and he's going to be here for a long time, I think.
Can you believe that it took Steven 15 minutes in this interview before he asked you about Vinny?
No, not at all.
I was thinking about him for the first 15 minutes. I was thinking about him. I'm sorry, Annie.
I thought it was going to be the first question.
It should have been. It's my fault.
Saving the best for the last.
Right.
You know?
All right. And, you know, look, that was it was a good test for the Royals. They lost the first two games. It was good to see them bounce back and beat the Dodgers yesterday, especially behind Brady Singer. Annie, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. We will talk to you again very soon.
You bet, guys. Talk to you later.
That's Annie Rogers from MLB.com. I'm always thinking about Vinny Pasquantino.
He's on your mind. I'm a big Vinny fan, too.
He my fave. We will take a break. When we come back, we will talk to Marco's sister.
Oh, boy.
And we'll get to the bottom of this. Oh, we're going to find out what kind of brother you are, what kind of big brother you really are.
Mm-hmm.
I've had enough of your lies, Marco. Back after this on WHB. Sunflower. Okay, we got just a little bit of time, but we got a lot to do here. We have Marco's sister, Mia, joining us. Say hello, Mia.
Hi.
And we have Marco's brother, Namdi, who's here with us, the intern.
What's going on?
This is your last day.
It is.
Congratulations on being one of the first recipients of the Jerry Green Broadcasting Scholarship.
I'm truly honored. It was insane.
Was your mom and dad happy? Were they proud?
They were so happy.
Did your dad love meeting Christian Okoye?
That was like a landmark, I think, in his life, was meeting Christian Okoye. He was sweating up a storm. He was just fanning himself the whole time talking to him. But they talked like they were buddies, like they've known each other for years. And it was awesome.
And so you've been a fantastic intern. That's why you won the scholarship. Now you go back to KU, but you're going to still – are you going to give us Kansas football reports or something?
Of course. Whatever you guys want, I'm there for
it. Do you want to utilize him on campus?
I told him that, yeah.
Put me on.
Okay. And so you're still in?
I'm still in.
What do you have the final word to say to the listeners after your internship this summer?
Thank you for listening to me and making me feel welcomed here at A10 Radio. It was truly a blessing. Just like at my other jobs, just hearing other people being like, oh, I hear you on the radio, people's parents. Like, that just really boosted my confidence in this field. So that was awesome, and thank you to you guys for making this one of the greatest summers I've ever had.
Wow.
And also, my dad is not Jason Whitlock. I think he was mistaken three times for Jason Whitlock that night.
Yeah, well.
and that's not even the first time that's happened. That's happened in the past before, but, yeah, my dad is not Jason Whitlock.
Unbelievable. Can you tell me exactly what this photo session that was posted by Phil that you guys took part in? I'm going to show this. Mia, you are also a young person, so maybe you could appreciate this more. What do you say about these pictures that were posted on Phil's IG? Namdi thinks I don't see these things. I don't have any idea what this is. Nate, do you see this? This is what is this?
And those are cool.
Then they're over here.
Chilling in a parking lot.
And then they're doing that, and then all of a sudden they're here. And
there's Jonathan.
Jonathan fell asleep. They took.
We were at Austin's house for less than 2 minutes, and Jonathan fell asleep.
Jonathan, what the hell's wrong with you?
That's a Jonathan classic.
Mia, you start school on. You get go back to school on Thursday.
Yes, I moved back in.
What do you study?
I study music therapy.
That's fantastic. But you were also a musician. What instruments do you play?
I play oboe and I play guitar and piano.
Do you sing?
I do sing.
Would you like to sing right now? It's up to you.
I think that I probably shouldn't sing in this setting.
Would you like to sing your brother's praises right now?
I would love to sing my brother's praises,
He a good big brother?
He is the best big brother a girl could ask for.
What's the best thing about Marco?
He is... not even trying to make him look good. He's like probably one of my best friends in the entire world.
What's one thing that bothers you about Marco? And you could say it right now and maybe it'll finally get through to him. I know you love him.
I do.
You said he's a great big brother, but he can't be perfect. There's got to be something that irritates you a lot about him. What would you like him to improve upon?
He can snore really loud sometimes.
He snores very loud. You disrupt the whole household. You can get a contraption for your nose or something to stop the snoring.
A snoring strip.
Right. Is that something you'd be willing to do?
No. Because she's moving on Wednesday,
so
it doesn't even matter.
I am.
I don't have to hear that alarm go off anymore on the weekends.
Very true.
Does he give you advice? Is he a protective big brother? Like, what's your relationship like?
He is very protective, but not in an overbearing way.
Right.
He wants me to succeed no matter what. And he's my biggest cheerleader, no matter what I do.
Does he visit you on campus?
Yeah, he'll come up to Lawrence and see me.
Does he try to hang out with the young kids and be cool and everything? And so I'm like, hey, come on, Marco, that's enough of this.
Well, the thing is if he did ever want to hang out with us, he'd be more than welcome.
So he fits right in.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, if you met Namdi, who's also a student at KU.
Yes.
Have you guys ever crossed paths or do your circles anything? Have you ever never seen each other before? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, and so maybe now you've met another friend at KU.
Another Jayhawk.
Now you've got to keep. If anyone ever messes with me, you got to tell us. We got Namdi, we got Marco that can go over there. Nate's got people. He'll call Greg Gurley. Greg Gurley coming.
Yep. Throw his weight around.
Oh man. I try to say something nice about people, and you are just an opportunist. And I can't believe you. Greg, I'm sorry. I certainly didn't mean that. And so, how much more time do you have before you graduate?
This is my junior year, so two more years.
And how much, what do you get? You're going to be a sophomore, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll be a sophomore.
That's such a deep voice right there. You made it even deeper all of a sudden there with that answer.
Okay.
Yeah, and so,
sophomore.
So give us something I need to know about Marco that might be embarrassing. That I could utilize against him. What's something he probably doesn't want us to know on the air?
Oh, God.
Don't look at him. He's trying to get you not to say something. Just say something funny, something embarrassing.
It's okay, Mia.
You know, it's okay, Mia. You can tell us.
Oh gosh, Marco. God, when he was probably 10 years old, maybe a little older.
Go on.
Wait. What?
No. Go on. This is what I want to hear. This is the content I'm asking for.
So. We had one of our cars was parked in the driveway, which was blocking the basketball goal.
Right.
And he had one of his really great friends over, and nobody was home to move the car. But of course, they had to play basketball.
And he's like 10 years old?
I'd say about.
Okay.
And so Marco took it upon himself to move the car that was in the way.
Marco?
And he looked behind him, and his friend that was playing basketball was suddenly not there. He runs out of the car screaming and crying, thinking that he ran over his friend whilst moving the car. To play basketball.
You left out the part that I smashed into our brick wall outside in front of
the
house.
That as well.
And there was a big dent.
Was it worth it? Was it worth it, Marco, to play that game of basketball?
It was.
You didn't run your friend over, did you? Where'd your friend go?
He went in the garage.
He was fine.
Put your friend in the hospital and ruined the car. But other than that...
Mom and Dad didn't see it until we were leaving the Red Robin that night.
Namdi, you'll come back and see us?
Of course I will,
We wish you nothing but the best. We want to reiterate that your father is not Jason Whitlock, but your father does now is good friends with Christian Okoye.
Yep.
And you're a scholarship winner. Now you must represent us at KU.
Yep.
You must go to football games and report back to us.
I'll be there.
Mia, will you go to football games and report back to us?
Absolutely. I have a season pass for all the games.
Listen to that!
Look at that.
Yeah.
Listen to that right there!
Rock chalk, baby.
Wow, that's enough of that now.
Yeah.
Man, school.
You're surrounded, Stephen. You're surrounded by Jayhawks
in this
right now.
Show immediately. Thank
in
you
the United States.
And Mia on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.